Welcome to our next session. Today we're going to be looking at the the dispensation of conscience. And as in each of the other dispensations, we're going to look at the time frame in which it occurred, the new revelation that was given to men in that day, the new responsibilities they had, and also, as is common in every other dispensation, man's failure and divine judgment. So the time frame for this dispensation, it begins with the fall of man. As soon as Adam and Eve sinned, their eyes of their conscience were opened. A new dispensation began. And it goes from the fall of man until the flood in the days of Noah. So that covers in the Bible basically Genesis chapter 4 through chapter 8. And it covers a period of about 1,600 years or so. And during that time frame, God was dealing with mankind, in a new and unique way. There were no Ten Commandments. Christ wasn't ruling and reigning from Jerusalem. There was no church. Rather, God was dealing with mankind through human conscience. And that's the way men were to govern themselves. They had an awareness of good and evil. And so as we read through those chapters, we discover, will men be able to produce holiness now that his eyes are opened? And the answer, sadly, is no. So that was the time frame. And there was new revelation given during that time frame. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7, there is a revelation of a moral type. And God speaks there of the eyes of their conscience. As soon as they sinned, they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And now their eyes were opened after they ate of that tree. And now they were opened and they were able to see, they were able to discern, they were able to distinguish between good and evil. They knew nothing. They were completely innocent of evil before that time. But now they experienced evil. They knew good before the fall, but now they know good and evil. And this was due to the temptation of the devil. Satan argued with them that if they took of this tree, they would be like God. And that was presented as a desirable thing. You'll have the same kind of knowledge that God has. You'll be like him. But God said, if you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. So these were two different messages, and Adam and Eve chose to follow the advice of the devil, and they ate of that forbidden tree. And as soon as they did, their eyes were opened, and their hearts instantly felt the pain and shame of sin, and they ran and hid from God, and they covered themselves up with fig leaves. Now they knew, for the first time experientially, guilt and shame. They were aware of the good that they were now unable to produce and the evil that they were not able to stop producing. And so this was a whole new way of life for Adam and Eve, this awareness of good and evil. Paul speaks about the value and the operation of a conscience in Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, and there he speaks about the ability that God gave to Adam and Eve the moment they sinned to be able to distinguish between good and evil. And their consciences were made alive. And now they were able to feel the pain in the moral realm. And that's what the conscience is. It causes us to feel pain when we have done something that we know is not right. And it's valuable to feel pain. You know, in the physical realm, it's a good thing if you step on a nail that it hurts, because then you can do something about it. If you felt no pain at all, you might just keep walking and you could get it could become deadly. So feeling pain is good. And for a sinner, it's good that God gave us a conscience that pricks our hearts, that makes us feel guilty and ashamed and discouraged when we commit sin. And so this idea of a conscience is that ability of self-judgment, to judge ourselves. The conscience either accuses us of sin and makes us feel guilty, or it excuses and justifies behavior because we believe it to be right before the Lord. And so that's the nature of a conscience. It's designed to condemn evil and let us know when something is wrong. It's a warning. It's an alarm that goes off. It's God-given, and it tells us that something isn't quite right. It's kind of like the oil light in your car. If your oil light goes off, it's just telling you that something's wrong. It doesn't necessarily... it doesn't fix the problem, and I suppose you could smash the light and get rid of it, and you'd no longer have to worry about oil, or so you think, but it's a warning light, and the conscience operates that way. And we are held accountable for whether we abide by our conscience or not. If we ignore it, you know, we have the freedom and liberty to ignore what our conscience tells us, just like a man has the liberty to ignore the warning light in his car when the oil light comes on, but it's going to come with consequences. The engine might seize up, and there are consequences in our spiritual life when a man ignores the conscience. So it commends that which is good and condemns that which is evil. And this conscience was the ruling factor throughout this entire dispensation, from the fall of man to the flood. That was the rule of life for men in that day. Now, the conscience was totally powerless to be able to produce righteousness. It did not result in justification. It could not produce that. But it did distinguish between right and wrong. In Genesis chapter 3, in addition to the conscience hindering sin by giving us that warning signal, so to speak, we also read that the Holy Spirit strove in some way against sin and against sinful men in that day prior to the flood. And so this was the rule of life. Men were to go by their conscience. Now, a conscience isn't perfect. It only goes by the knowledge that you give it. It's like a computer, garbage in, garbage out. If we feed our conscience incorrect information, it will give us an incorrect reading. And that's why sometimes in pagan religions, they can do vile things with a pure conscience because they think that they're honoring their God. They even burn babies. And in Hinduism, they would throw their babies in the river, thinking that it was pleasing to their God, and they could do it with a clean conscience because they really believed it was right. So the conscience operates on the basis of the knowledge that it's given. But it's powerless to save. There was also the added revelation in that day about a blood sacrifice. And we see that in Genesis chapter 4. God accepted Abel's blood sacrifice, but rejected the bloodless offering that Cain brought to the Lord. And so this was another way of revealing the approach to God that hinted at a future Redeemer. So along with the new revelation, there were responsibilities that men had during that time frame to live up to the dictates of the conscience. And the first responsibility we see in Genesis 4:7 was that men were to do well according to their conscience. It says in that passage, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." So the test in that day was to do well according to the conscience. And they were to live according to the conscience. That was their rule of life. It was not a means of salvation. It was their rule of life for those who already believed God. And so now they had, in that day, the knowledge of good and evil, and they were responsible to live up to the light that they had in that day, the light of conscience. They didn't have the Ten Commandments, they didn't have the Golden Rule, they didn't have the epistles, but they did have that God-given inward, like a warning sign, a twinge of pain and guilt and shame when they did something they knew to be wrong. Now, we're told in the New Testament that if men don't respond to their conscience, if they're not faithful, then they can sear the conscience. It's kind of like burning it, so there's no sensitivity to sin or right and wrong. And a man who, it's like the man who breaks that annoying oil light in his car. It might feel good to smash it if you're upset that you ran out of oil, but it's kind of silly not to pay attention to it. But men don't always do what's right. Cain did not do well, John tells us in 1 John 3. He didn't believe, but his brother did. And Cain did not respond properly to the warning light of conscience. He refused to come to God God's way by faith through a blood sacrifice. Again, it should be noted that living by conscience was not intended to be a way of salvation. It was simply the rule of life. And in that day and age, if they wanted to be saved, it was just as in any age, like Father Abraham. He believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. In that day, there were some godly men who believed God, and it was accounted unto them for righteousness. And so in their daily walk with God, they were to be guided by their conscience. And so that was their first responsibility, was to do well according to their conscience. And they were also another responsibility to offer a blood sacrifice. But the failure in that dispensation, every age ends in failure. Their failure was that man did not do well. And that's an understatement if you read through those chapters. The first little baby born murdered his brother, Cain. In Genesis chapter 4, he murdered his brother. In Genesis chapter 6, we read that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There was constant, unrelenting evil taking place all over the globe, wherever man was. And we see also in Genesis 6 that the earth was corrupt before God, and it was filled with violence, murders, violence everywhere. And all flesh had corrupted its way, so this was universal. All flesh was violent and corrupt and evil on the entire face of the world. And so in this second stewardship, the first being innocence, in this second stewardship, conscience, will that cause man to be upright and to lead a holy life? They failed miserably. They were unable to produce holiness. They did exactly the opposite. It was a terrible time on the earth. And it was so bad that the judgment, and here's the next part, the judgment for the dispensation of conscience was God killed every human being on the planet. And there could have been many, many millions of people. Just think, they lived near 1,000 years old, and they were producing children. And if you kind of do the math on that, they could have, during that time frame, they could have produced millions of children. And God killed every last one except for one family, Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives. So horrible judgment came in that day, just almost unthinkable. If you try to transpose that into today's world, that would be billions of people. And so things were different in the dispensation of conscience. And just think of the drastic change from the Garden of Eden to a whole world that is totally corrupt and filled with violence and evil, and every imagination was only evil continually. What a difference from the innocence in the days of the Garden of Eden. When sin entered the world, everything changed drastically. Human nature was changed. In the garden, Adam and Eve were bent towards righteousness, holiness. After the fall, men are bent in the opposite direction, bent towards sin. And our sin nature is incapable of producing anything good in God's sight. And also, men are born spiritually dead because of the fall. The eyes of their conscience are open, and they were to live by that as their ruling factor. That was to guide their steps. That was to guide their direction. But they were bent in a wrong direction. They had to invent clothing because they were ashamed. They weren't ashamed before the fall, but now they're ashamed that they were naked, and clothing was invented. Skins of animals. Animals had to die for those skins to be produced for Adam and Eve. That was unthinkable in the age of innocence. And we see also that sacrifices were now being offered. Blood sacrifices were being offered to the Lord. And death dominated that age. You know, we read in Genesis 5 and we're amazed that so-and-so lived 560 years or 980 years. And we're amazed at that. But what we really should be amazed at, what Adam would have been amazed at, is this. That so-and-so lived 960 years and he died. Death was what was so shocking about Genesis chapter 5. And that was the consequence of sin. So the ruling factor in that day, the light of conscience, it did not produce righteousness or holiness. Men universally rejected the light that they have, and that we see in every age. Overall, men reject whatever kind of light, however much light God gives them. And sin and violence rapidly spread. But thankfully, we do read, now we might not know this from reading in Genesis, but there are three men in the dispensation of conscience that are found in the Hall of Faith or the Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11. And there we read of Abel, Enoch, and Noah, godly men in a very ungodly day. And that was the dispensation of conscience.